If you do have your Bible there, please do turn back to Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, and verse 12 through 17 this morning. Our text this morning is taken from Colossians 3:17, where Paul says these words, "And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." There was a book that was written a number of years ago now, I think it was in the late 1980s, which was called Who You Are When No One's Looking. And it was a book about character and integrity and being consistent in the Christian life. And what's striking in the title of that book is that the "when no one's looking" is in brackets. You see, we all have a public persona, don't we? A mask, if you like, that we want other people to see. We want people to see us at our best, don't we? We like people to think the best of us. But very often there can be a tension in our lives when the public persona that we want to portray doesn't match up to the private life and the internal life. Because even though we can hide much of what is happening privately and internally from those around us, even those close around us, even our spouses or our parents or whoever it might be, we cannot hide the internal things, the personal things, the private things from the Lord. How often, for example, do we hear about someone who has a serious problem, perhaps a gambling addiction or an alcohol addiction, and yet they manage to hide it from their nearest loved ones for years, for months perhaps, and years even. So when it finally comes out that this has been happening, that the family members are devastated because they had no idea that there was this double life that was going on. This person that they love. And suddenly it's found that they've got this gambling problem or alcohol problem. But nothing is hidden from the Lord. As Psalm 139 says, "He knows when we sit and when we rise. He perceives our thoughts from afar." He's the one who knows all things, who knows our internal thoughts, our struggles and our pains. He knows all these things. Now, that ought not to be a scary thing, as though God was always looking over your shoulder, just ready to crush you, because he knows what's going on in your head and in your life. The exam results have just come out fairly recently in Scotland and also down south. And I wonder if you remember your time at school, perhaps, doing a test or some kind of exam. And occasionally, certainly the school that I went to, you sat your exam and you were on an individual table. You remember those tables? And you set out your pens, whatever exam it would have been, and you were sitting the test, and the teacher or the invigilator would tell you what time to start, and you turned your paper over and you got on with the test, hopefully. But occasionally, the teacher or the invigilator would come along. They'd come along your row, the row you were sitting on, and they would look over your shoulder. And you could almost feel their breath on your neck. And you thought they might be checking your work or whether you had it right or whether you had it wrong. You thought, "Oh, if I got it right or wrong," and they're kind of looking over your shoulder. What are they thinking of me? Sometimes we think it's a bit like that with God. That he's breathing over us, just waiting for us to make a mistake. That he wants to crush us. But our God is our Heavenly Father. Do you not think that he wants the best for us as his children? Do you not want the best for your children? So does God. You see, he wants us to be the best thing that we can be. To be the best that we can be. You see, the very sad and ironic thing about this book, the title of which is on the screen there, is that its author, Bill Hybels, last year had accusations made against him, which proved to be credible. And he was forced to step down from his role as a pastor. He wasn't living up to the things that he's written in this book. But do we? Are we always the same? Externally, internally, are we always the same? Are we people of integrity? And why should we be people of integrity? Whatever we're doing, are we people whose inner life is the same as our outer life? You see, notice what it says in verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not some of it, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so it doesn't matter what we're doing in our life, in word, in deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, of course, in our lives, there are things that we like doing, and there are things that we don't like doing so much. That's true, isn't it? But whatever we do, whether at work or at leisure, whether washing the dishes, making the dinner, going out to dinner, cycling, mowing the lawn, going out for a coffee or making the coffee, whatever we do, we are to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you have that perspective, it begins to change things as you live for the Lord Jesus. You see, we are to live a life of integrity and a life of good character, not because we are forced to by God. This is not God saying to you and getting your arm and shoving it up your back and saying, you must do this. We're not to live a life of integrity and good character to impress God, to earn our way with God, to show how good we can be. That's not a reason for living a life of integrity and good character. Actually, the motivation is simply thankfulness. Thankfulness. Be thankful. That's what it says in verse 15. You see, so often in our lives, when we lose our way and we do our own thing and we do things that we're ashamed of, it is because we forget the Lord. That's the reality. We forget what God has done. We forget to honour God with who we are. We follow our own path rather than following after him. And when we forget about the Lord, then we don't think about all that he has done, and our hearts begin to harden. And so our public persona becomes very different from our private persona, where our heart is hard, we're thinking ill of others. It's important that we remember what the Lord has done. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, as the people of Israel are on the edge of the promised land, standing on the edge of the Jordan, Moses gets the people together and he goes over what has happened in these last 40 years. And he asks the people, remember what has happened. Remember the plagues in Egypt. Remember how the Lord brought you out of the land of slavery in Egypt by his mighty hand in a miraculous way. Remember the goodness of the Lord in sustaining you for those 40 years in the desert, where your food did not run out because you had manna, where you had meat to eat because you had quail, where your shoes did not wear out. Remember these things. Now, why were they to remember those things? Well, they're reminded to share these things with their children. Those who didn't remember what happened in the desert all those years, who had no experience of the Lord leading them out of Egypt. They needed to remember, and they needed to remind one another about all that the Lord had done. And we too need to remember, don't we? Because we're so prone to forget, aren't we? I know that as I get older. And some of you are older than me. There we go. We're prone to forget, aren't we? People say that life has never been so busy. Work is constant. Family life. Smartphones, which mean we're always connected. So many distractions. Rick Warren, a Christian pastor in America who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, says that people today live lives of aimless distraction. They spent time on the internet, on social media, on Netflix, lots of distractions. Not much time left to focus upon eternity. Not much time focused upon the Lord, unless you make that time. Because it's when we're focused upon the Lord and all that He has done, then our life is changed. You see, why should Christians be people of integrity and character? It's not because they're better than anyone else. It isn't because they try harder than other people. It's because it is an act of worship. It's thankfulness for all that God has done for us. It's us saying to God in our words and actions, Lord, I love you. And I'm going to show you by how I wash the dishes. Lord, I want to serve you. And I'm going to show you by making that other person a coffee. Lord, I want to honor you. In my thought life, I want to be focused so much upon you that I'm not distracted by other things, by temptations in my life. I want to love you, serve you, honor you, and I will do so with my lips. I will do so with my actions. Everything in my life will be an act of praise and worship to you. Is that not the way you want to live out your life? Dedicated to the Lord. Saying, everything I have, everything I am, is yours, Lord Jesus. I want to honor you. Why do you want to live a life that way? Because I am thankful. I'm so thankful for all that God is and all that God has done for me. You see, why do our lives often go awry? Because we're actually not thankful to God. We actually don't really understand how God has loved us. All that Jesus has done for us on the cross at Calvary. You see, every day when you start off that way and you say, look what you've done for me, Lord Jesus. God, it is amazing that you've shown me such love that you would send a Savior like Jesus to pay for my sins, that I might come into your very presence, into your very throne room. If you start your day that way, how can you think for yourself? And just do things for yourself. We start off that way. And everything we do, everything we say, becomes an act of worship to the Lord. You see, I'm so thankful that God has sent Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace to our hearts, as it says in our passage. And I need the message of Jesus to dwell richly in me, that daily I might respond to that message of love and how I live out my life. Perhaps at the moment, life for you is a grind. Maybe you feel there is no joy in what you do. And maybe you know that your outer life, that public persona, doesn't match your inner life. You know that you look good on a Sunday, but when Monday comes, that old ugly person comes out. You can be as kind as you like on a Sunday, but on Monday morning, you're grumpy, you're grouchy, and you're not a nice person to be around. I simply say to you today, don't try harder. Just simply focus on Jesus. And let's share that message of Jesus with each other, singing to God with gratitude. Because it is when we are thankful to the Lord for all He has done, that our life begins to change. I started university in the late 1990s, and I began studying English literature. I was hoping to become a journalist. That would have been a disaster, so just as well didn't go down that direction. But within a month of starting my course in English literature, I knew in my heart that the Lord was calling me to the ministry. And I had 3 years and 11 months of my degree to go. Now, I love English literature. But when you know that your passion and your calling is elsewhere, it's difficult to keep motivated, isn't it? After all, I wanted to be out telling people about Jesus. And here I was, spending endless days in the library reading novels. That's basically what it amounted to. I had 7 hours of contact time in a week, 5 lectures, 2 tutorials, the rest of the time just reading novel after novel after novel, second reading on top of that. You came out at night, your eyes were just bleeding from reading absolutely all day. I had to read all this stuff, some novels that were far from enjoyable. How did I get through those 3 years and 11 months? I endeavoured to do what I did to the Lord's praise and to read books to his praise. That seems a really strange thing, doesn't it? Whatever you do, do it to the praise of the Lord. That's the lesson, isn't it? And I tried to make sure, however mundane, however boring it seemed to be, that I would do it to God's praise and to his glory. Thankful to him. And looking back, though those years seemed perhaps to me at the time to be wasted years, nothing is wasted to God. And those were years of preparation. Perhaps at this time, you find yourself stuck in a job, you find a grind. Perhaps life is just difficult. But wherever we are, whatever we face, let's make sure that our attitude is right. Because if we are truly thankful for all that God has done, that changes absolutely everything. Because rather than being focused upon ourselves and upon our needs and our desires, who are we focused? We're focused upon him, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we do everything to his glory and to his praise. Go home today. Go and do the dishes. But do them to God's praise. It makes such a difference. Go and make your bed. I hate making my bed. Go and do it to God's praise. Go and hoover. Do it to God's praise. Do the mundane things. Mow the lawn. Do it to God's praise. Do your work. Do it to God's praise. Whatever we do, do it to God's praise. Whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You see, sometimes work is mundane, isn't it? But when we do it to God's glory, things change. You see, it's great fun, isn't it, to speak about my work colleagues behind their back. But I choose not to. Why do I choose not to? For God's glory. Because I want to be a person of character. A person of integrity. A person whose outer life is the same as the inner life. Because I am so thankful to God for all that he has done for me. So I ask you this morning, are you a thankful person? Are you thankful to God for all that he has done? Do you truly start each day and you say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you today. Or do you forget him? Are you straight out of your bed once your alarm goes on? Did you just get on with the business of the day and then you think later, oh, I should have thought about the Lord. Why not get up each morning, think about the Lord, be thankful to him, and see what a difference that makes in your life. Shall we just pray together? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for these words that we find in the book of Colossians. We thank you that we are your chosen people, holy and dearly loved. And Lord God, when we recognise that we are dearly loved, because we look at the cross and we see how much you've paid the price for our sin, we pray that we would be people of compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, that we would bear with each other and forgive one another, that we would forgive because you, Lord God, have forgiven us. And most of all, we would be a people who are loving, loving to those around us, because we are so grateful for the love that you have shown to us. Loving Lord God, we recognize in our lives that sometimes daily life is a grind. So many chores to do. Sometimes work is difficult. Sometimes we can become ground down. Sometimes we can get caught up in the culture of the world, speaking ill of others, doing things which are dubious morally. But Lord God, we pray that as we wake up each day, as we recognise all that you, Lord God, have done, as we are a thankful people, that, Lord God, we would want to honour you and to glorify your name. That it doesn't matter if we're with a group of people and putting on our best outer persona, or whether we're just alone in bed or alone in the shower or whatever it might be, walking the dog, that, Lord God, we're always the same person, seeking to give you honour and glory and praise. So, Heavenly Father, speak to us through your word this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.